Proverbs chapter number 20. I have thoroughly enjoyed being able to come up here and enjoyed the nice weather and beautiful outside. As long as it's warm in here, I don't mind looking at it from out there, from in here, looking out there, but I've enjoyed it. Last night, I ate way too much. Eating has been exceptional. I have enjoyed the food and everything else, and didn't necessarily have to start cooking it now. It makes it kind of rough to preach. I can smell it coming through the back door. And man, that's I don't mind making it hard on a preacher. And I set it all out in front of you. Now you have to smell it while you're preaching. That's amen. So I'm this is going to be a very short message. And we'll get to, we'll see if we can take care of that that good smell in the back. Proverbs chapter 20. I'll just read one verse of scripture, and we'll get started here. This is one of the messages. We'll just have to see how things go. Sometimes it's something a preacher says, but he's not sure how something's going to turn out. but we'll see here. Proverbs chapter 20. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Faithful man who can find. I'd ask Brother Daniel if he wouldn't mind opening us up with a word of prayer this morning.
Give them the words to say, Lord, and that you would be able to be magnified here today. And we thank you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What I want to preach on this morning, I know it may seem a little strange for a Sunday morning message, but I want to preach on, subject I want to preach on has to do with faithfulness, just Christian faithfulness, not necessarily about preaching or teaching, but about a husband, a wife, a parent, a friend, a soldier of Christ, a sower of the seed of the Word of God. And we see, especially get to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11, we see what's known as the heroes, many heroes of the Old Testament. It's the honor roll of faith. Everyone from Abraham to Sarah, you see that in the writings of the Apostle Paul, New Testament saints. Then you can go back throughout church history. And there are all kinds of men and women that have been just faithful in what God has called them to do. Not necessarily always people of renown, but just men and women that have been faithful. And there's one in particular, just to use as an example this morning, a man by the name of George Whitefield. I've always enjoyed reading about him. He was born 1714 to 17, died 1770. But brought about the great awakening. He was the youngest son of Thomas and Elizabeth, the youngest of seven. Doesn't have anything on some in here, but he's the youngest of seven, and he was a very sickly kid. Mom said caused her a lot of trouble. That's a rough thing I know for a mom to say, but caused her a lot of trouble. Very sickly. And she said because he caused her so much trouble, she expected him to be a real blessing when it come to the Lord. She expected him to be more of a blessing than all the other kids because he was such a handful to deal with. As a young man, he was in the Anglican Church, and he preached in such a way that the Anglican Church had never heard before. You could do that with a pulse. But he preached in such a way that the Anglican Church had never heard before. And that is, he preached with conviction. Preached with conviction. He was in England at the time when England was in a very bad situation. He played a great role in England and America. The role that he played in England and America, between England and America, is just immeasurable. There's no following when it comes to him. There's no institution or movement that's named after him, nothing with his name on it, other than people came by the thousands to hear him preach. And following the Reformation, the England's basically still under the Dark Ages, just not under Rome. It was still very reformed, very ritualistic. And Whitfield, for Whitfield, they were very cultured. Whitfield had an outdoor ministry. When he got outdoor, he's preached outdoors. He preached with emotion. Christianity at that time had become nothing more than just a social label, similar to what it is right now. Every politician that runs has to have a label to put on, and whatever label they put on, it's nothing more than just a social label. It was a whole system that just reeked of death and stagnation. And that's what Whitfield was in. George Whitfield's radical message that he preached is, you must be born again. That was a radical message that he preached. And people came by. They set up campaigns, trumpets. They had vegetable gathering ceremonies, all for the point of hindering George Whitfield's preaching. They weren't there to help. They were there to throw vegetables at him. They would set up drums and trumpets in order to try to drown him out while he preached. And it was throw rocks at him. I mean, it was quite a sight to see. And the ministry that he had probably rivaled even that of Martin Luther. Right up there with it. What Whitfield was known for faithfulness. I mean, he when he preached, he was full of God when he preached, and preached at Harvard, preached at Yale. The outdoor meetings that he preached, especially in England, saved England from a revolution, and it unified the American colonies. You understand, at Whitfield's time, people knew about George Whitfield before they knew about George Washington. His preaching, as he went around the colonies, he unified the American colonies. There's times that he preached early morning hours. He would preach anywhere from 12 to 20 times a day. I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I get here and I have the heaters running. We really hadn't even used the heat back home yet, and they're using it this morning. But get up here and the heat's running and the throat gets kind of dry. I couldn't imagine having already preached 12 times this morning. I mean, he would preach anywhere from 12, sometimes as much as 12 times a day, to as many as he might start off with 20 first thing in the morning. By the time he's done, he may have upwards of 25 to 30,000 people that he's preaching to in an outdoor meeting. You've probably heard the example of Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin went to hear him preach and said he estimated that you could hear George Whitfield preach up to a mile away. There's times when he got done that the blood would be running down the back of his throat as he stood out in them fields and them highways and hedges and preached. An Anglican bishop one time came to meet him at the port. He showed up, the Anglican bishop came to meet him, and he said, Mr. Whitfield, we sure are sorry to see you. And he said, yeah, well, so is the devil. It went on about his business. He had a four-month-old son died, and he preached four times before the funeral. Just faithful. It's estimated that he preached over 18,000 times to almost 10 million people, an average of 550 every time he went up to preach. Most of the writing that you find about him was done to oppose him. It was done to talk irreverent about him. There's things about him, I understand, that's not probably even theologically sound, but he was dedicated. He was faithful. He was the voice of the Great Awakening. And you may know Wesley, but there's not a whole lot that know Whitfield. If Whitfield had a motto, his motto was just faithful. Just faithful. In every attitude, in every aspect of life, faithfulness is required. Should be required. It's required in a husband. Required in a father, required in a friend, a brother, a soldier, as I said, a sower of the seed of the Word of God, a wife, a mother. We require and desire faithfulness. We we wouldn't tolerate unfaithfulness in a marriage, but it's amazing how many Christians will tolerate unfaithfulness in other areas. Just being unfaithful. We look at a spouse that's unfaithful and, boy, they can never be trusted again. But there's too often when it comes to church, many of Christians not faithful. When it comes to their Bible, many Christians not faithful. When it comes to just serving the Lord, there's many a Christian that's not faithful. An unfaithful person never thinks being unfaithful is a big deal. They never think about it. Just doesn't seem to bother them. And what I want to give you for a few minutes this morning is just some things about being faithful. Some things about being faithful. Look over, if you will, at the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I know that my desire as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be found faithful. I have told the Lord many times, He just unfortunately doesn't have much to work with, but I sure do desire to be faithful. Sure do desire to be faithful. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Faithful. Faithfulness is something that's desired. You know what the Lord desires? The Lord desires faithfulness. Israel, when it came to the Lord, what the Lord desired from the nation of Israel, He desired faithfulness. Faithfulness. It wasn't, a lot of times we look for some person having some great ability or some great talent, and what the Lord looks for, the Lord looks for faithfulness. The talents, the abilities, that's things He can impart. But faithfulness is what I believe the Lord desires. Israel was to be to God, they were to be a holy people. They were to be a peculiar people. There's things that the Lord required of His servants. We looked at Samuel some last night. And what Samuel had to learn, Samuel had to learn faithfulness, and Samuel learned faithfulness from a good source. Samuel had a faithful mom and a faithful dad. The Bible says that Elkanah brought Hannah. They came yearly before the Lord, and they were faithful in her service. And he learned faithfulness. Faithfulness is something that should be desired. Look at the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. What God desired from the nation of Israel, He desired faithfulness. Deuteronomy chapter 4, look down if you will at verse number 20, says, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto Him a peculiar people of inheritance, as you are this day." Hold your hand right there in Deuteronomy. Go back to Exodus chapter number 19. Exodus chapter 19, they were a peculiar people. He says in verse 5, "Now therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Look over at Deuteronomy chapter number 14. A peculiar people, a peculiar treasure. Deuteronomy chapter number 14, he says in verse number 2, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto Himself above all nations that are upon the earth." Skip over just a few more chapters to chapter number 26. Chapter number 26, Deuteronomy chapter number 26. And the Bible says down in about the end of the chapter, verse 18, "The Lord hath avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all His commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which He hath made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as He hath spoken." You know what the Lord desires? The Lord desires a faithful people, a holy people, a peculiar people. The Lord says of you and I that ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people. A peculiar people. What the Lord desired of the nation of Israel, desired faithfulness. Bob Jones Sr. said, "A man that wants to do a work for God will find a way, and a man that doesn't will find an excuse." The Lord desires faithfulness. God declared the same thing in the New Testament. Look over there real quick at the book of Titus. And I won't make you do a whole lot of turning here this morning, but the book of Titus. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And the Lord desired faithfulness so much that He says in verse 14, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You know, God desired a faithful people, a peculiar people so much that He gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He gave His Son to separate unto Him a peculiar people, as the Bible says, zealous of good works. Faithfulness is desired. Not only is faithfulness desired, faithfulness is demanded. God demands faithfulness. He says in Exodus chapter number 34, He says, His name is, He says, I am a jealous God. My name is jealous. And why tell somebody that? That seems a strange thing to tell someone. You know what I am? I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I've told my wife that. I'm jealous. I don't like other people getting more attention than I get. Right? I mean, them kids, I say, all right, you babied them kids long enough. Now come baby me a while. you spend enough time with them. Come give me some attention. And you and I am, I'm jealous. You know what God said? God says, I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God. And it is, the reason to say that is to invoke faithfulness. That's why God said it. God says, I don't want you giving your attention, your desires to someone else. I'm a jealous God. And because I'm a jealous God, I want you to be faithful to me. That's the reason for saying it. As I said, a spouse demands faithfulness. And usually when we're talking about something like that, we're talking about envy. And that's not what the Lord is talking about. The Lord's talking about jealous. I am jealous. As a husband, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I don't like people taking advantage of my family, of my spouse. I remember a man told me a long time ago. He said, brother, if you're not careful, the ministry will take the years from your wife too fast. You better watch that. And I've tried to do my best to be careful of that. We can all do something, and it doesn't have to be put upon the shoulders and the burdens of one or two. And as a pastor, sometimes you just feel it's your responsibility to just take care of things. And I know as my wife, she feels it's her responsibility to help alleviate the burdens sometimes that are put on me. And she will wear herself down just trying to do that. And there's times I say, you know what, that's enough. That's enough. I'm jealous of her. I'm jealous of her. And I know as a husband, as a pastor, the same thing. It's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Faithful. That's what the Lord requires. We are to be faithful sowers of the seed of the Word of God. It's required to be faithful. We expect faithfulness in certain areas, but other areas we're kind of like, sometimes we get kind of lax in. Sometimes we don't think about it too much. Faithful when it comes to the Word of God. The Bible says, all thy commandments in Psalms 119, all thy commandments are faithful. Faithful. I found folks, sometimes they pick and choose what they want to be faithful in. Well, I want to be faithful in this, and I want to be faithful in this, but I don't know about being faithful in this. Just faithful. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And sometimes just being faithful in Bible reading. I got up and preached one time, and I had a man tell me afterwards, he says, well, that's an easy thing for a pastor to say. All you do is sit around all day and read your Bible. No. You know what? Sometimes you have to sit around and read. And it's not always just preparing for a message. Sometimes you need something to deal with this heart right here, and your Bible reading is separate from your Bible study. And it's an easy thing. It's an easy thing sometimes to say, but you say, "Well, it's easy for you, but You better be careful of saying that to those of us that have jobs. Okay, well, listen, I'll say this. Growing up, my dad got saved when he was about 40. My mom got saved when she was around 30 years old, 30, 31. Neither one of them, dad was raised in a Christian home. My mother was not raised in a Christian home at all. Home was tore up, raised by her grandmother. There's a lot of things when they got saved. There's a lot of things they had to learn. And when they got saved, I was about 2 years old. And some things had happened. The little fella had went up and grabbed hold of my mother was making some hot tea on the stove, and I went up and I was able to hit the pan and dump that pail of water on my face. That's why I look like I do today. But a lot of things over that transpired to the point that between getting me to the hospital, was able to give an opportunity for some people to come over and talk to my mom and dad about the gospel. And they got saved when I was about 3 years old. And as far as I remember a Christian home. Now, you know what I can say? I don't ever remember a day where I didn't get up and walk, getting ready to go to school, and walk by their bedroom, and I didn't see the two of them sitting on that bed reading their Bible. I never remember a day. I'm sure it happened. I'm sure things transpired. But that was just a normal routine to see. I can remember walking by there, and mom sitting there with a cup of coffee, dad sitting there with a cup of coffee, on either side of the bed, just sitting there reading their Bible, faithful in reading it. Faithfulness is desired. Not only is it desired, it's demanded. How is faithfulness defined? Well, you have to have faith. You have to trust God. You have to believe that book. And people miss out because of unfaithfulness. Well, there's a lot of things you miss out on just being unfaithful. You ever gotten your Bible reading and you was looking for an answer you needed yesterday and you found it today, a day late? And you kind of had to cut things short the day before. And, boy, if you'd have just been where you should have been, you'd have had the answer you needed when you needed it. Boy, I sure have. And people miss out because of unfaithfulness, just being consistent, unwavering, not moody and emotional. I was talking with a young man, and he said, there's been times I've sat down and read 50 pages of my Bible, just sat down and read 50 pages. I said, amen. How about just 5 today? Right? You are just faithfulness. Not just when you feel like it, not just because you get some kind of emotion stirred up or just get moody, but just being consistently faithful. Loyal. You know what loyalty involves? Loyalty involves denying self. Just being loyal. We too often have a habit of looking out for number one. This is what I want. I mean, we want this one to do this, and this one to do this, and this one to do that. And we demand faithfulness here, and we demand faithfulness here. But a lot of times, it's this one right here that we have a problem with. Just faithful in the little things. Faithful many too often in the mundane things. Faithfulness requires dependability. Persevering, enduring through the storms. Just, are you faithful? Are you faithful? The motto, as I said, of George Whitefield was just faithfulness. I read a story one time of a shepherd dog over in Edinburgh, and its master had died, and it said for 12 years, he went out there and just laid on the grave of his master. For 12 years. A dog. I don't have a lot of feelings for animals. I know some of you like dogs. I heard a lady said she liked cats. I like cats. I'd like to get your recipe. I don't have a lot of feeling for animals. I do get stirred up. I tell you, yesterday, I got a little emotional yesterday, seeing all that beef laid out on the table. I'd, If I get emotional about an animal, it's usually because it's barbecued. That'll bring a tear to my eye at times. I enjoy that. But here's just some old dog. You say, boy, it didn't just a dog, just an animal. You know what that animal did? That animal went out there and just day after day after day laid on the grave of his master. Laid in the grave of his master. Just being faithful. I read a story one time of a lady in, I think it was North Dakota or something. She had, they thought she was about to pass away, an older lady. She got up and she fell out in the aisle and they thought she was about gone, and she was motioning to one of her children to come over, and she was trying to whisper something, and they were getting ready to hear the last words of what she had to say, and she whispered it, and she gets down there close to mama, and she says, my offering's in my purse. My offering's in my purse. That's joy for a pastor to hear. Some people have a habit of forgetting them kind of things. My offering's in there. You know what she wanted? Hey, listen, you're going to have to take me out. Make sure and put that. Just faithful. Just being faithful. Faithfulness is declared. I know as a church, we have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And when it comes to the Lord's Supper, we do show forth the Lord's death till He come. It has to do with being faithful. It has to do with being faithful. Look at the book of Colossians. Colossians. There's some people that the Apostle Paul commended. And he commended them many times because of their faithfulness. Colossians chapter 4. We were there in verse number 14 just a while ago. Go back up to verse number 9, Colossians chapter 4, verse number 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. What is he? Well, Paul says he's just a faithful brother. Faithful brother. I don't know any. We don't know too much about him, but we do know that he's faithful. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter number 5. The Bible says, look down at verse number 12. By Salvanius, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is a true grace of God wherein ye stand. What was it? Well, just a faithful brother. Faithful. You know what the Lord commended? The Lord commended his faithfulness. Look at Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Look down at verse number 13. It says, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, that's not denied by faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. You know what he was? He was just a faithful martyr. Faithfulness is declared. Faithfulness is many times it's defied. What is it that keeps someone from being just faithful? Well, you know, the older you get, I know me as where I work, you just want people to show up for work. Right? But I mean, you wouldn't think that'd be too much to ask. You really wouldn't. I mean, you pay people to do it. They come there. They say they want a job. And Monday morning, there's always something. Seems like there's just people missing constantly. The character of people is to the point that they won't even show up to work. We had a little incentive program. If you work 40 hours, 40 hours for 4 weeks in a row, it'd give you a $100 bill. They just walk out at the end of every month. If you've showed up for 40 hours and you've been there all month, just walk out and give you a $100 bill. You say, well, it's $100. $100, $100. Right? I mean, it's $100 for you doing what you're getting paid to do anyway. Just work. We're not talking working extra hours. Just work 40 hours. Just show up and put in your time and work. You think, well, that wouldn't be, it shouldn't be too hard. Well, boy, it is. Just try to get someone to be faithful. What is it, as I said, that keeps someone from being faithful? Well, a greater love for self, that keeps someone from being faithful. I want what I want. I need this. I want just a greater love for self. I say all the time, now I know things up here. You have a little white weather out there. We're having some at the house right now. Started snowing a couple hours ago. And sometimes there's inclement weather that keeps people from coming. But church starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you don't get out of bed before 10 o'clock in the morning, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Right? Now, I understand being sick. I understand unable to get out of bed. But who actually sleeps till 10 o'clock in the morning? I don't understand that. I don't know. I mean, if you work a night job, but if you're going to bed at 10 o'clock at night, who sleeps for 12 hours? I don't remember the last time if I get about 5 hours of sleep, that's great for me. And I'm rejoicing. About 5 hours, that's about all I can stand to lay down, and my back is waking me up going, out of bed now, right now. If you want to walk the rest of the day, get out of bed. And 10 o'clock in the morning, you say, well, brother, we'd like to come to Sunday school, but, you know, that's kind of early. No, it's not. 10 o'clock in the morning is not early. It's not early. I eat lunch at 11 o'clock. I'm an hour past my lunchtime right now. At 10 o'clock is not early. What is it that keeps someone from being faithful? Well, just a greater love for self, more dedicated lust for things, a more earnest loyalty to other people, places, and duties. There's things that distract from being faithful. What you have to determine, there's some people that will be faithful to a ball game. Faithful to a ball game. Wouldn't miss for anything. I've had people miss work because they was at a ball game. I mean, hey, listen, I couldn't come into work because a kid was playing a doubleheader and we didn't start the last game until 10:30 at night. Matter of fact, I couldn't even let my son, he couldn't even go to school today because we was playing such a late ball game. Oh, that's real priorities. I mean, that's real duty. I mean, miss school and dad misses work over a ball game. No, you'll be faithful to what you want to be faithful to. A more earnest loyalty to people, places, duties, and an exceeding desire for ease and comfort. There's some things will keep you from being faithful. Well, I just want to take it easy. Just want to take it easy. And next thing you know, your duties and what you ought to be faithful in just seem to slip. At a time when kings go forth to battle, you know what David said? I need a little ease and comfort. What happened? Well, Bathsheba, Uriah, death, judgment of God. Just a desire for it. It'd been a lot better for him if he'd just been faithful in the duties that God had called him to do. Faithful. Sometimes it's a persistent discouragement in a good way. You know, it's not always easy to serve the Lord. You ever realize when you're having a revival meeting how everything goes wrong? I mean, everything goes wrong. I mean, the car breaks down. People get sick. The furnace goes out. If the bathroom's going to flood, it always floods in the middle of a special meeting. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong right in the middle. It's just sometimes just a persistent discouragement in the good way. In the good way. And you go, oh, you know what? I just don't need this right now. And the Lord says, I'll just be faithful. Just be faithful. I mean, it's sometimes it's just an abounding disinterest in the things of God. Just, you know what, I've heard this before, I've been there before, and the Lord says, I'll be faithful. If you're faithful, then I've got something for you. But boy, too often, we're too interested in this right here. Just a little ease, a little comfort. A little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come. Right? What is it? Just sitting back just a little bit. And the Lord says, just be faithful. Just be faithful. What produces faithfulness? Well, it involves a choice. It involves a commitment. David said, my foot is in an uneven place. Faithfulness begets faithfulness. I've had my children ask me, all of them asked me, say, Dad, when it comes to reading, how do you read that many? I mean, when did you start doing that? First time I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation was 1981. And I remember Brother Lester Roloff. We used to sit around. Family altar program would come on, and we'd hear Brother Lester Roloff. And he had this little motto going at the end of 1982. I think he died in 81 or 82. Read your Bible through in 1982. And I'd started the year before. And I remember the first time I read my Bible through was 1981. I've read it a number of times since. Dad, how do you read this amount? I said, well, son, you start by being faithful in this amount. Right? And just a little, and a little, and a little, and a little, and a little. Faith produces faithfulness. I mean, how is it that you can do this on a consistent basis? Well, the Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. The Lord's faithful. Look, just a couple of verses, and I'll be finished here this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Why is it that we should be faithful? Well, we should be faithful because the Lord's faithful. It says in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful who will establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord's faithful. Look at Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Our desire should be to be faithful as well. Faithfulness produces faithfulness. You know, they said of Whitfield that the last night that Whitfield was alive, he was in an inn. He was very feeble, and a crowd began to gather. About 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night or so, crowd began to gather down there in the foyer, the entranceway, out into the street, and they were wanting him to come out and preach. And he got up that night, as sick as he was, and went down about halfway down the banister, and he began to preach, and he preached. And he said, and he got back up, and he went up in his room, and he laid down, and they said there was a light there in his room, and when that candle went out, he went on to be with the Lord. He was just faithful right down to the end. Preached the last night of his life. Just being faithful. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know what our Savior is? His motto, and he is faithful. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, here's a great passage of Scripture. You want to get yourself charged up now and again, I turn over here and read Revelation chapter 19. And verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. You know what they called our Savior? Faithful. Faithful. You think it's too much for the Lord to require faithfulness of you and I? Boy, I don't think so. You know how the Lord sums this thing up? Look at Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. He says in verse number 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. What are they? Well, they're faithful and they're true. You know what most of us, and if you're here this morning, my hope and prayer is you desire the same thing. You know what I know I desire the Lord? I desire one of these days when this race is ended, and one of these days when I stand before Him, the Lord looks and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Faithful servant. It's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Whitfield, as I said, the motto of his ministry, as was said, was summed up, was just faithfulness. Just faithfulness. I seen a man, Brother Walt Ziegler, was talking to him and one day, and he had a picture of him, and he was over in New England, and underneath a pulpit is where George Whitfield was buried. They just all there is a little brick there, and you go down into the basement. And he was buried down in that basement, and the thing was all crumbled. And they had an organization come in and redo that and put up a plaque and all there commemorating George Whitfield. And he took a picture of him because they had to clean that out. And they had a picture of him standing there holding the skull of George Whitfield. Strange. I wouldn't do it, but he's standing there, had a picture of him standing there holding that. What is it? Well, there's nothing much there. It was just a piece of brick. It said, beneath here lies the body of George Whitfield. But no, it wasn't any monument. You know, the only monument that he had was faithfulness. Just faithfulness. What the Lord desires of you and I, the Lord desires faithfulness. He is faithful and true. In righteousness, He doth judge and make war. You want the Lord, you know what we desire as a servant? Lord, can I hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful servant. Let's all stand this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. What the Lord desires faithfulness from you and I. There are all kind of things, as I said, that seem to tug to try to get our attention somewhere else. And the Lord says, just be faithful. Just be faithful.
Now we have a church full of people here this morning that I can testify have been faithful for an awfully long time. Some of you guys here this morning started out, and first of all, you were faithful to the Lord before Brother Stevens ever showed up to try to get a church started. But since that time, you've been here for 27 years, and others of you have come along a little after and gotten fire built in your belly, and you've been faithful since. You know, I look at myself and I can say that I'm faithful in some things. But I also know that there are things that I'm not all that faithful in as far as inner life and personal life. There are things that I fail in. It's mostly matters of the heart. And I wonder if the Lord's dealt with you this morning about that. You have a God that knows intimately all those matters of the heart. Sure, He knows when you tithe and when you don't. And sure, He knows when you're at visitation and you're not, and so on and so forth. Sure, He knows that. But He also knows where your thoughts stray, and that old heart, that wanton heart begins to make its trips outside the boundaries of what's right and pure, things that you know better. Without going into a big long thing this morning, without really any visitors here, I wonder if you have something you'd like to say to the Lord regarding that faithfulness. Our Father, we come to you this morning. We're glad for what we heard today. And Father, once again, we are brought back to simple things and things we've probably heard preached about and taught on in many different segments many, many times in our Christian lives. But it usually always boils down to something simple. And Father, I pray you'd help and take this message this morning, as well as a Sunday school message, as well as all we've heard already this week. I drive the nails deep down into our hearts. Do something with these things we've heard, these things that we know. And Lord, we are grateful to have been able to gather here. We pray you will dismiss us with your blessing. We look forward to tonight, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, you're dismissed. We'll be back at 6 tonight and 5:30 if you want to come pray with us.